ever heard the story of Harry? He was a legend around here. Until one afternoon, he left and never came back. Turns out, Harry went and made himself a website using Squarespace. Used Squarespace domains to buy artisanseatcushions.com. And he built a beautiful site with an online store to sell his artisan seat cushions. Now Harry's sitting on a fortune. And if our Harry can do it, anyone can. Build your business at squarespace.com. Use offer code EVERYTHING for 10% off your website or domain.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mackenzie Gore vibes. I could see 3.5.
Okay.
And then tapping out after that.
I can hear you on that. It's probably good for my health.
By the way, right now we've got a little NBA playoff action going on. The Detroit Pistons are up on the Cleveland Cavaliers, 39-31, 5 and some change left in the second quarter. And then, of course, later on tonight, still no Luka, as the Los Angeles Lakers, who were blown off the court the other night, take on Oklahoma City in Game 2 of the Western Conference semifinals.
Unfortunately, I think how Games 1 went in those two series will probably be the same in Game 2.
Yeah, really, I mean, the crummy part is, for as good as the ending of round was, as good as the ending of round one was in most cases for the NBA playoffs, outside of the game one of Minnesota and San Antonio, I can't even talk, outside of Minnesota and San Antonio, the rest of the games have not been good.
There has not been a good game. I mean, that Knicks Sixers game was closer.
That second game was good. So we've out of four games, we've only had two, and the other two have been absolute
more than
blowouts.
Four matches.
So we'll see. So what, six games? We'll have seven and eight tonight. So hey, you've had two out of six games that have been worth a damn. And I have a few now. Detroit, Cleveland,
but it's also the series we care the least.
Nobody cares.
It's going to be Knicks in the finals.
Out of the East?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So it's going to be what, Knicks Spurs or Knicks Thunder?
Oh, yeah.
That's it. We can kind of...
Although...
Who did we not name that's going to make a run to the finals?
We'll see. My problem is I don't know that AE is healthy enough to be enough of a force.
I would love for it. We know now, who's coming out of the East, and the West, there is three teams up for contention. Spurs, Wolves. We don't know who'll come out of that series. I wouldn't be surprised if the Wolves win. And then
I would be surprised if they won.
I mean, if AE is healthy, then I wouldn't.
Well, but
Timberwolves are a good team, man.
No, they are, but I don't think your knee gets better as the series goes on.
That's a real possibility.
So that's the only issue I have with
We might have to take a step back and just be like, if AE is healthy, I think the Timberwolves are just a really bad matchup for the Spurs because they got length they can get on Stephon Castle, on Harper. With their guards.
And like Gobert can slow down Wembanyama.
Yeah, so you kind of have, this is a bet. They would have rather played the Nuggets, the Spurs.
Oh, absolutely.
Way better matchup. The Wolves are a team that's going to, one, push Wemby around. They have no problem getting physical with him.
Yeah.
If any team in the league, Minnesota Timberwolves, with Naz Reid and Gobert and Jaden McDaniels, all those guys have no problem putting an elbow into Wemby and pushing him out of the paint.
No,
and
they're a physical team.
And if he's like how he was in game one, where he was 0 of 8 from 3, not as effective. I mean, in neither game he scored over 20 points.
Of course, last night he didn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they were up 30 in the third quarter. Yeah. So, I mean, at that point. But at the same time, I mean, look, Minnesota, they stole game one. So, you know, you go into game two, you're pretty much done by the midway through the third quarter. AE played, 9 minutes in the second half or something crazy like that? So, you know, you rest him up. Game three tomorrow night, I believe.
I'll double check.
So so we'll keep you up to date on that. Like I said, Pistons right now, they got a 9-point lead over the Cleveland Cavaliers. So
game three tomorrow for that and Sixers.
Yeah, so we'll keep.
Hopefully, Joel Embiid plays.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
If he's just out, the Sixers are done more than likely. But if Joel Embiid comes back, we've seen how much of a force he can be. It just depends. I mean, they did get blown off the court with him in game one. I'm aware of that, but
they made it. I mean, look, they made it a game last night.
Mm-hmm. So we played better without Embiid. Do you just say he's healthy?
See, I don't necessarily agree that they played better with him. I mean, I think I don't necessarily, because look, you don't beat the Celtics without him.
No, I'm just saying maybe just in this series, out of the two games. You got smoked by 40, and then you only lost by, like, what, 8?
I would also push back and say in game one, like, you got blown out by the Celtics in game one. I just think they were exhausted in game one.
I agree.
You know?
I'm just saying, do you think there's a decision if he's healthy? Say he's healthy because I can play
him. Oh, if he's
healthy,
you're playing him.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. No, you're not I mean, and you're going to get a better Joel Embiid. I think last night was as much about we just need to rest you. And I mean, look, Philly's not a bad basketball team. But no, you're a lot better when you've got Joel Embiid on the court. But
they got some good injury news. New York Knicks forward OG Anunoby has been diagnosed with a right hamstring strain. And it'll be day to day. He's their second leading scorer for the Knicks in this postseason with 21 a game. So he's questionable for game three. So if OG doesn't play, Joel Embiid does at Philly, I could definitely see
them stealing
game three. I mean, I don't think the Knicks are going to sweep them. I don't think they're that much better than the 76ers. So I assume if they'll win one, it'll probably be game three.
8 suspected cases of hantavirus linked to the crews. Now, the WHO has come out and said that it's not COVID. So,
you know, you want to know a fun fact? Fred, Trevor, and all the people listening, they said the exact same thing about COVID. This isn't going to spread. It's not going to be a pandemic. Nobody freak out. And then
Well, actually, I mean, yeah, but COVID was a lot different. COVID was a lot different. We learned from that.
I hope so, too. I hope so, too. If not, I'm going to start getting my TikTok trends going, start getting my dances, pick up a new hobby. We're going to be inside.
It's only a matter of time. You might be. I'm going out.
You're going outside?
I'm going out.
You're going to be the one guy outside?
I'm sure there'll be plenty of us outside. 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. That is the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line. Chime in. Let us know how you're feeling today on this Thursday night. No Fan After Dark tomorrow night. Why? Because your Texas Rangers are back at home against the Chicago Cubs. They lose today. And I don't want to say I told you so.
Mackenzie Gore. But also some bad fielding all around as well. Now, it's literally the same conversation we had last time. Mackenzie Gore did not play great. He did for the first couple innings.
He was great for the first 5 1/3. I mean, for the first 5 1/3 innings of the ball game.
But then when the bases get loaded or players get on, they have trouble getting out.
Once he gets past 90 pitches, he's done.
Sometimes it's the fielding stuff with some errors in the outfield. Sometimes it's just bad management of pitches by Mackenzie Gore. The next thing you know, it similar to Jack Leiter, it snowballs.
One run turns into 6 runs on the board.
3, 4, 5, 6, and the Yankees are going to be a team that they take advantage of your mistakes. That's what good teams do.
Yeah, it was 2-1, and
shout out to Ezekiel Duran. 5 1/3.
I mean, hey, Ezekiel Duran is having a renaissance year. But rough night for your Texas Rangers. They fall to the New York Yankees tonight, 9-2. Had a 2-1 lead going into the sixth inning, and then, of course, the wheels fell off. 8 runs. What did they give up? 7 in the sixth, 1 in the eighth, 1 in the seventh, 1 in the eighth, and that was the
10 left on base by the Rangers today.
Shocking. That continues to be the bugaboo. 1 for 5 with runners in scoring position. Jacques went 0 for 1. Our boy Brandon Nimmo, he was 1 for 1. Seager went 0 for 1. And Duran 0 for 2. The only person that had multiple hits was our boy Nimmo. Tonight, you mentioned Ezekiel Duran. He was second, batting second in the lineup today. He did go 1 for 3, but he did have that home run as well. So
29 runners left on base in this series.
Yeah,
the Rangers.
No, it's been, well, you could look, I mean, think about it. The last 5 games. They've been a disaster with runners in scoring position. So they now fall to 17-20 on the year. The scary part about all this, though, if you're a Texas Ranger fan, is now you've got the Chicago Cubs coming to town tomorrow. And I want to say they're, what, 25-12? 26-12. They won today. Ben Brown on the mound tomorrow for the Cubbies. And Kamar Rocker takes the mound for your Texas Rangers.
The game is at the Globe.
Is that a good thing?
Well,
I mean, not for the offense.
Not for the offense. Just I'm saying in consideration with the Cubs. The Cubs at home are 18-5.
They're only 8-7 away.
8-7 on the road. Now,
middling, as we like to call it.
The Rangers aren't. I mean, I'll give you the Rangers home.
They're 7-8 at home.
7-8 at home. So this is a matchup of all matchups.
Something's got to give, boys. Something's got to give. Can you get to 500 tomorrow? That's the million-dollar question.
So I'm looking right now, Fred, at runs per game of every American League team.
Look at Dawn White. She's got some crazy eyelashes. Continue.
Where do you think the Rangers rank? American League teams, runs per game that they score. Their offense.
Their offense.
All the American League teams.
What are there, 15 teams in the American League?
Correct.
I'm going to say 13th.
Trevor, you want to lob a guess up there?
let's go first. Wait, no, 31st. How many teams are in the NBA?
What is he doing?
Wow. I'm trying to Price is Right it here. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to Price is Right it.
I mean, what are we
doing? Is he trying to skyrocket the show? Is he trying to throw a missile in here? What's your deal, man?
We're calling you Hantavirus.
What's up?
Well, at least I kill quick.
Okay, let's try this again. Out of all the teams in the American League,
1 through 15, where are they ranking offensively?
15th.
That is correct, Trevor.
Hey, I tell you this.
Every single
Trevor gets it right.
Every single team in the American League
is better.
Averages at least 4 runs a game. The Texas Rangers average 3.8. They're the only team sub 4.
I mean, they're a shade under 4.
I'm just saying. Every team is 4
rounding. If you were rounding, you would round up to 4.
No, literally all the numbers are 4.2, 4.3, 4.4. Well, those decimals matter. Well, no, you can't just round from 3.8 to 4.
Oh, I'm rounding.
That's not how this works, Fred. It's runs per game. This isn't like just a random stat. When it comes to what they've allowed,
2.9.
No.
3.4.
You don't have to guess the exact number. You're not going to get it. Just where do you think they rank?
How do you know?
Because you won't.
There's only 9 decimals.
Okay, guess all of them then, Fred. We'll sit here and wait for you to
guess. Give me a higher or lower. Mr. I throw out guesses. So suddenly you don't like to do guessing games all of a sudden?
I was saying 1 through 15. Where do they rank? Not the actual
number. Oh, I thought you were talking about how many runs are they giving up.
Yes, Fred. I am asking how many runs they've given up. But I'm just saying in comparison to the rest of the league. So they either give up the most runs, the least runs, middle of the pack. I don't need you to guess what the answer is.
Man, look, I'll tell you what, Mr. Sassy Pants over here.
How is that sassy?
Mr. Sassy Pants all day. Over here. He really has been.
How is that sassy? I just said guess the number.
It's almost like he woke up dysfunctional this morning.
This guy's funny.
We think that's what it is?
Didn't leave dysfunctional.
We think that's what it is?
Are you having issues, maybe?
Maybe.
You know what? I saw a tweet today.
They're first, by the way, in Runs Aloud.
You're wrong. I saw a tweet today about something about you.
About me?
Yeah.
About Trevor Beck?
About a tattoo on your arm.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what that means, right?
Wait, Trevor's known for a long time. Trevor knew, found out after he got it.
You want me to say it on the air, or do you want to say it?
Wait a minute. What? What are we talking about?
A tattoo that he has. What it signifies.
It's going to be unfortunate.
It's going to be unfortunate. I could have swore I heard something about that. What does it mean?
So Trevor thinks he got some kind of tribal tattoo.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Where is it at on your arm for the people listening?
But the internet says something different.
It's about as far as I can stick it somewhere.
I'm not really sure what to do with that information.
I wasn't talking about that. Wow. What are you talking about?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Oh, okay. Well, then what are we talking about?
So what does the tattoo mean?
I mean, I was talking about something completely different. I was saying that it signified that you were like fun-loving and wanting to get to know people. And you're talking about sticking something somewhere?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm absolutely.
Yeah, because Blake has pure intentions when he starts bringing stuff up.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I'm the sassy one. After that remark, I'm the sassy
one.
Well,
it's a sass-off between you two. So what are we talking about here? So you thought it was something different? Like, what did you think it meant?
I got it for a certain reason.
Yeah.
Trevor gets tattoos for a certain reason.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
And so, the reason...
Then we found out what?
That this is when you get bars like this.
Yeah.
It is how far that you could stick something.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Your arm.
And that's the distance that it would go inside someone else.
Wow.
Wow. Way to make that not really PG, Trevor.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's about as PG. I kind of thought you would clean it up a little bit.
I mean.
Listen, how do you clean it up?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's
you clean up after. That's what you do.
Wow.
Okay. Wow. Well, shout out to all the 12-year-olds listening right now in the first segment.
Unreal. That's crazy. Wow. How do you find out something like that?
Again,
I mean, it's the internet.
Some of the realms that I've been in, but so funny enough, the tattoo girl that I talked to previously.
How can we forget?
She said, "Do you know what that means?"
Yeah.
And I'm like, again, people like to bring it up. I'm disappointed.
So when you got it,
someone said incredible radio segment going on right now.
So when you got this tattoo, how old is this tattoo, by the way?
I want to say 16 is when I got it.
All right. So you've had it 20 years, right?
No.
25.
2016. Sorry.
Oh, 2016.
I should have clarified that.
No, you're fine.
16.
You're fine.
2016.
Imagine. Okay, continue.
I mean, I got my first tattoo when I was 15, so I mean, it's possible. Yeah. So you've had this tattoo for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you got it. You got it with the intention of, hey, this means something near and dear to my heart.
Yep.
That was
people.
Pure.
So people used to wear black cloth to remember people who had died.
Okay.
And so, like, that's I lost my father when I was younger.
Okay.
So that's what.
So
this
you got
is.
This tattoo in memory of your father.
In essence, yeah. There's a lot of things that go into it.
But then you
it,
find
yes.
out, and then how soon after that did you find out? Wow, this has some really negative or debaucherous connotation.
I want to say 2018. There was a Vice
later.
Article or something.
Shame somebody, on the tattoo artist
yeah,
for
about
not
that's,
saying
that's
anything.
Exactly what I
wow,
was thinking.
Wow, where'd you go? Just some random Yahoo?
I mean, the guy was good. I mean, it was it's a
obviously not knowledgeable.
It was it's a fairly it's off Greenville Avenue. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I
we'll go ahead and dox.
We know where not to go.
Well, but again, who knows? You don't ask questions. I mean, shoot, you want a tattoo?
See, that's
you're
why,
pay me money?
But see, right. That's why I've always been a big believer in, you know, and of course you guys are too. Well, you're too young to remember this, but when the whole Chinese symbol thing.
I know
was,
I was
a
talking
deal,
about and people
right?
were getting that and they didn't know what they were getting tattooed on.
I never understood it because I was like, you don't, unless you're Chinese or have a Chinese friend with you.
Or just look it up.
Okay. Well, look up where? It's got some Chinese book hanging around that you can just, you know what to look up.
I guess the internet wasn't around
back
then.
The internet
then.
Wasn't popping yet in the late 90s.
AI
okay?
wasn't as legit
AI,
as it used to be.
AI and Google was not that.
And even now, AI might okie dokie.
So. Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying.
So you just go to your local Chinese friend.
Just find a Chinese person. Yao Ming. I'm thinking about getting this. What the hell does this mean? So you found out 2 years later that it meant something far more sinister.
I mean, it's a niche meaning.
Yeah.
It's a very niche meaning, okay. But it's
apparently it was.
I should say it was a niche meaning.
But apparently, old girl knew what it meant.
Well, she's an artist, though. She's a she wasn't a tattoo artist, so yeah, of course she.
Someone
knows.
Said for those of us who just tuned in, what is a tattoo y'all are talking about?
Yeah, what is it?
It's a solid black bar.
Just a solid black.
How
bar.
Many? It's two.
I mean,
right
I have
below
two,
your
but that's
because
I thought two looked better, and it had meaning. Again, it has meaning to me.
Right. That's all that matters.
Well, the answer to my question: the Rangers are second best.
Like the number of bars on his arm, that's where they're at.
The Rangers and Mariners give up 3.9 runs per game, and no, we will not be rounding up.
Okay.
The team that is the best is the Yankees, 3.4.
I'm rounding up. So 4-4.
The Yankees score the most runs and allow the least amount. That's AKA why they have the best record in the American League.
Sounds about right.
Rangers are back to being mid, guys.
17-20 on the year. But I tell you what, it's now, again, we did agree that this first 40 games was going to be a hellacious start to the season. So, look.
Back-to-back overs for Josh Young, too.
I don't expect them to sweep the Cubs, but let's just get 2 out of 3. Can we get 2 out of 3? Is that too much to ask?
I think that's too much to ask.
You think?
Yeah. Cubbies are good.
No, they are. But again.
Only
8-7 on the road.
Yeah, but we stink at home. Now, I do think Rocker's
not
pitching
great.
At home, which is gives a positive there, so we can get at least
does.
One.
Absolutely.
Get
does.
At least one.
And then who's then after him, you got what? DeGrom, isn't it?
No, because he just pitched the other day. Let's see who the lineup
Kumar?
Is.
Kumar?
It'd be Rocker, Leiter, and potentially DeGrom.
Okay.
If it goes the way that it has been going, yes.
It will
DeGrom.
Be, yeah, Rocker, Leiter, and DeGrom. So and CA and I will be out there on Sunday. So you got the G Bag tomorrow. So that's a dub. And then CA and Fred Unk Radio on Sunday. The vibes are going to be in full effect for Friday and Sunday.
Immaculate.
G Bag tomorrow.
You'll get a G Bag dub tomorrow. You get an Unk Radio dub on Sunday.
What about Saturday?
That's 2 out of 3. Well, nobody from the fan will be there on Saturday. So
maybe Trevor, Khaki Kevin.
Trevor, will you be there on Saturday?
Negative.
Getting tattoos on the other arm?
I need to get tattoos on this arm.
Yeah,
that's
you do.
Like I need
yeah,
to
you
happen.
Do.
We need to go get tattoos.
Let's
we,
do
we
it.
Keep,
let's
we
do
need
it.
To actually
no, we
go
do.
Do it.
We do.
We'll
we
go
do.
To your artist.
I know.
And get
I was going to say I know we're not going. I can tell you that much. Oh yeah, go ahead and get it. Swastika? No, that's something else. Don't worry about it. I'll tattoo that all day. Come on. All right, big show today. Let's talk about
no
it.
Refunds.
We've got, no refunds. None whatsoever. Okay. Coach Odessa Jenkins from the Texas Women's Elite Spartans. She will be joining us at 8:20. It's an extra credit kind of night tonight. Who's doing TSN?
I am.
Oh, okay. So it'll be a Fred versus Trevor on Extra Credit tonight. Then we'll have Trevor's Good News. That's going to go down at 9:20. Stars Bars as Jim Neal. And I'll be honest. I mean, look, obviously it stunk that the Stars got, you know, 86 in the first round. But when you hear about pretty much every person on the team was injured, it kind of makes you feel like, okay, that's understandable. I mean, our boy Miko, we kind of wondered that, hey, he didn't look right out there. Well, now it makes sense. He was playing with a torn MCL, for crying out loud. So we'll hear about that at 9 o'clock. Of course, you know we'll do Fair or Foul. Peter Schrager, one of the premier NFL reporters in all of media, had some nice things to say about Christian Parker. We'll hear from him. And Derek Lively gives an update on where he's at in the injury side of things. So we're going to hear from that as well. But when we come back, legendary broadcaster Bonnie Bernstein. She's got a brand new show coming up. We're going to talk to her next. Don't go anywhere. This is The Fan After Dark. All right. Welcome back in. This is The Fan After Dark right here on 105.3 The Fan. Fred Davis, Blake Elliott. And, of course, we didn't give him a proper introduction. The one, the only Trap House Trevor behind the glass on the 1-2s and 3s. So, without further ado, let's jump out to the D&M Leasing Hotline. And welcome to the program, veteran, legendary broadcast reporter, journalist, and one of the best in the game to do it, the one, the only, Miss Bonnie Bernstein. And Miss Bonnie, number one, appreciate you coming by today. You got a brand new show coming out. We got a lot to get to. And you, tell you what, actually, you were part of one of the more painful conversations in my sports fandom, which we'll get to here in just a second.
That's not a way we want to start an interview.
Well, look, it'll get better. I promise you on that. I'm a Jayhawk, so I'll just let go. You can go ahead and put that in your hip pocket for now.
I know where you're going.
You already know where I'm going with this. So before we get to that, let's talk about this show first, because I got a lot I want to talk to you about, because it's an interesting time right now for female reporters, and so nobody better to talk about it than you. But let's talk about this show first, because I want to talk about it, because has there ever been, in light of everything going on right now, could your show, and let's talk about it real quick. It is the Champion's Edge with Bonnie Bernstein. It debuts this Saturday morning on ABC, and you're going to be talking to accomplished women from all over the professional world, sports, business, academia, medicine. I mean, you name it, Bonnie Bernstein's talking to them. How important is the timing of the show right now?
The timing, honestly, could not be better. And first and foremost, thank you for having me on. And hello, everybody in Dallas who's listening this evening. So the Champion's Edge is shining a light on extraordinary women from all different industries, as you mentioned. And their common link is that they played sports growing up. There is some really fascinating research. And I love that the show is actually based on research. So there's all sorts of data that makes this really strong connection between sports participation and career success for athletes across the board, but particularly with women. 94% of female C-suite executives, so your CEOs, your CFOs, your COOs, they played sports, with more than half of that group of women playing at the college level. And so why is that? It's because these women who are reaching the highest of heights in their industry are leveraging the teamwork, the leadership, the resilience, the confidence you build through sports, the discipline you need through sports, the time management you need to compete in sports to achieve career success. So there's this really strong connection. And what I realize, guys, is that while the data is there, the stories are not. You know, we'll hear about athletes who they play sports, they stay in sports, the coaches, the GMs, you might go work in athletics at, you know, the University of Texas or TCU or SMU or whatever. But what we don't hear are the stories about the women who are doctors and lawyers and women working in finance and in tech and in politics and government. These are the stories that we want to tell, because for all of the folks who play sports, most of them don't wind up in sports. And we really kind of want to be the ultimate, if you see it, you can be a database for any athlete who wants to do anything. They can find somebody in our stories who looks like, you know, who they aspire to look like when they grow up.
So how did this show come about?
One of the things that we talk about in business, there are two keys to success in business. Number one, identifying a white space in the marketplace. And number two, solving for a problem. So when I saw the data and I didn't find any platform showcasing the stories, I realized that there was a white space in storytelling. And so we want to fill it. And number two, you know, we started out this conversation talking about, like, women's sports is just exploding right now. participation levels are higher than they've ever been. But here's the little dirty secret we don't talk about. And moms and dads who are listening, you probably see this in your own houses. Girls are dropping out of sports at twice the rate of boys by their early teens. Now, realistically, sports has become really expensive. Right. And sometimes costs can be an issue. There are lots of different things. However, there are lots of girls who are dropping out. They love sports, but it takes a lot of time. And they come to the realization, well, I'm not going to get a full ride. I'm not going to play in the W. I'm not going to play in the NWSL. So I'm going to do something else with my time. And by sharing these stories, what we're hoping to do is connect the dots, A, for athletes to let them know, hey, if you still love playing, consider thinking about the long game. And the longer you play, the better you're positioning yourself for success. Number two, one of the big reasons why girls drop out is lack of parental involvement. So Jenny might want to go play soccer, but you know what? If mom or dad aren't taking her, she's not going to play. And so we really want to put these stories in front of parents to maybe shift their thinking, maybe encourage their daughters to play or encourage them to stay if they're thinking about quitting. And so the why really comes down to the two keys to a successful business: identifying a white space and solving for a problem.
We've got award-winning journalist Bonnie Bernstein joining us, talking about her new show that's coming out this Saturday, The Champion's Edge with Bonnie Bernstein. All right, so you did mention that these stories aren't being told. Unfortunately, the story that is being told right now is probably very near and dear to your heart as somebody who trailblazed, has been in this business now for 30-plus years. A, just your thoughts on the characterization of female sports reporters in light of what's going on right now with this Dina Russini story, and how do you feel the story's been characterized?
If I'm being completely honest, I have had my head completely buried in getting the show launched, and while I've seen the headlines, I haven't read enough to be able to really share an educated opinion on that.
Fair enough. So let me ask you this then. Let me ask you this then, right? Because there's this being this, and Elle Duncan talked about this because she was asked that same question, and she said, look, if you're going to suggest that, you know, whatever Dina Russini did in her spare time, which obviously hasn't looked great, is going to characterize or put a pall over the entire female sports journalism business, and that's shame on you. You know, what would you say to young female reporters out there right now that are battling, trying to fight this stigma that people are throwing around right now on social media?
I would say don't worry about what anybody else thinks.
Fair.
Do your job. Work as hard as you can. Be as educated as you can, be as ambitious as you can, be as great of a teammate as you can, be as good of a person and as grateful as you can. Don't worry about anything else, because no matter what you do, people are going to think what they want to think. And a lot of times what they think has nothing to do with your ability, your integrity, your credibility, or anything. Worry about you, period, full stop.
Bonnie, can you talk about kind of your upbringing? You were a decorated high school athlete with track and gym, and then getting to the spot where you're covering the Super Bowl. You are doing different MJs in the finals. Like, what were some setbacks and some opportunities that maybe you wish you could have done things differently, or just your advice and kind of how you got to the point you were? And I'm sure you had some roadblocks on the way.
Well, it was so interesting, because when I decided I want to get in, and this was, I had this... I know it sounds kind of strange, but I kind of had this epiphany when I was 12, 13 years old that I realized at a very early age, I love sports. At that point, I was already participating in multiple sports, and I just fell in love with writing. And I'm like, well, why don't I be a sports writer? And it just in my head, because I think as a kid, sometimes you live in a bubble. Mm-hmm. And so I never really thought about, wow, there aren't a lot of women out there. I just sort of decided that this is what I wanted to do. And it kind of comes back to the same advice that I was giving when it comes to how you go and live your life and show up in our industry. So I think that I just knew what I wanted to do. I wrote for my high school paper. I was very intentional about looking for a journalism program, a place where I could go to college where it was that great balance of reputable journalism program and highly ranked gymnastics program. And I found that in the University of Maryland. And if I'm being candid, I've heard lots of nightmare stories. I've been very fortunate to have not been a part of a lot of them. Nice. And maybe it's because I was so singularly focused on building my credibility. I've had people say, nobody would ever want to mess with you because you just don't give that vibe. And I'm kind and I'm friendly, but when I'm there to work, I'm there to work.
Yeah.
And you know, that's kind of it. So were there obstacles? Were there jobs that I was up for that I didn't get? Yeah. But I think one of the most important things that sports teaches us, and it has been extraordinarily important for me, and I think would be the case for anybody in our industry, man or woman, is how we learn how to process failure as athletes. Because if you lose, if you don't score the amount of goals you want, if you don't get as much playing time as you want, and you process that as failure, well, you might as well get out. What we learn in sports is that failure is a critical part of achieving success. And sometimes we can control whether we win or lose, and a lot of times we can't. But here's what we can control. How do you download that? How do you take that teaching moment and grow and be smarter and be better and maybe pivot if you need to, but process failure in a way that it is not an indictment on you personally or your ability? And so, you know, kind of coming full circle to the Champions Edge, we really want to instill in girls that what we're learning through sports is applicable throughout our entire lives. Because if I didn't have the sports experience I did, you know, the wins and the losses and the blowing out my knee and being told that my career was over and just defiantly saying to the doctor, "You don't determine that, I do," and working my tail off after them taking off part of my hamstring to reconstruct my knee and being in a
Damn.
straight brace for 2 months, like that was nasty. And on the most challenging days in my career, guys, I constantly find myself thinking, if I can make it through my ACL rehab, there's nothing that I can't make it through in my career.
I got one final one for me, Bonnie. What is one piece of advice that someone has shared with you or a quote that kind of sticks with you to get you going to that next day to be the best Bonnie?
I can't emphasize more how important it is to build your network. And this is where athletes have a real opportunity at the college level. Like, I can't tell you how many people I've been around, and you know, like, you guys have some big time donors in the Dallas area. People love being around athletes, they admire athletes, companies want to hire athletes. So ask yourself, while you're still playing, what are you doing to cultivate your network? If you are playing college sports, or moms and dads out there listening tonight, if you've got your kids playing college sports, have really explicit conversations with them about how they are harnessing the alumni network to start building, cultivating relationships. So when it's time to start floating the resumes around, you already have a whole list of champions who want to support you. Why? Because you all went to the same university. And I'll say this, we have some wonderful guests on the Champions Edge who have very close regional ties. We've got Vanessa Wallace, who played basketball at the University of Texas, who she ran Jordan Brand. She was CMO of Rihanna's clothing brand, and now she's CMO of a jewelry and a lifestyle brand. We have Donna Lamar, who ran track at Texas Tech, who was the head of global entertainment at Spotify. We have Nyjah Kennedy, arguably the most recognizable face in softball. We brought her York to shadow Jessica Mendoza at ESPN one day. And what I've learned, and we've gotten so much extraordinary support from Texas Tech, Cody and Tara Campbell, and Tracy and John Sellers, and the entire Texas Tech community when we were down there have just completely welcomed us with open arms, that people want to support athletes as much as they can. So grab that and run with it.
Okay, I lied. I got one more. We just had a Tolo text in a question.
You got the text lines blowing up, Bonnie. You got them blowing up.
They said, is it a person's mentality that leads them to a specific sport or sports in general, or is it the sport making the person?
Oh my gosh, that is, who brought that up? Do you have a
940.
That was a texter.
It was a texter. They can send their name in, but it was just one of our texters.
Okay, well, thank you for texting. So it's so interesting. Going back to the research that we were talking about. So I'm piggybacking off the research that tells us there's this really strong connection between sports participation and career success. I think about if we're fortunate enough to build this platform and get a couple seasons out of it, how can we do research that continues to matriculate the ball down the field, as we say in football? And one of the things that I've really thought about is, are there particular sports that seem to churn out athletes in a particular industry? And one of the reasons why I think about that is there are an inordinate number of lacrosse players who wind up on Wall Street. And so I would love to do some research about that connection. Okay, where do basketball players tend to wind up? Where do runners tend to wind up? Because I do think there's probably some more digging that we can do that would reveal some fascinating results.
All right, Bonnie, this is where it's going to get a little tough for me. So I'm a Jayhawk, and I remember it like
I'm
it was
so
yesterday, and you know where I'm going with this. And
you know what?
Let me tell you something. Shout out to you, because, look, everybody knew Roy was leaving. Okay, like it was, and look, you know as well as I do, we didn't have, the internet was there, but, you know, we didn't have social media yet. We didn't,
I'm so glad we did not have social media.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a wild time back in those days. But, you know, you asked the question, and look, kudos to you for asking it in the heat of battle. I mean, we just lost the national championship. I mean, hell, if we...
I love how you refer to the team, but you're part of the we.
What happens when your Terps go down, you know? I mean, fear the turtle, right?
But when they go down, I definitely don't say we.
Hey, look, that was... the funny thing was, I had just enrolled at KU, too. I had just got done spending 4 years in the Navy, and then, boom, I go to KU, and we lose to Syracuse in the national championship. And if we just hit some free throws, it would have been a different story. But anyway, so the world knew that, you know, that Roy was leaving. It was the worst kept secret around. And you, with the stones that you've got, say to him, are you leaving for North Carolina? And of course, he has that memorable line, I don't give a bleep about North Carolina right now. Just kind of what on, you know what I'm saying? Like, what made you ask that question? And kind of what was that interaction in person? Like, we all saw it on TV, but what was that like in the moment?
Well, the very simple answer to your first question, why did I ask it, is because as a reporter, as somebody holding the microphone, as somebody who has access to somebody that most people would love to ask the question, my job is to be the voice of the fan.
Fair enough.
So to your point, we all kind of knew what was going on, but I have so much respect for the tournament, and I was so fortunate to be able to cover it for as many years as I did. Anytime I'm interacting with coaches during that time, it is all about the kids. It is all about the game. It is all about March Madness. And I have such a good relationship with Coach Williams, and just respect for the game, that there was never a right time to ask the question.
It really wasn't.
The season was over. And I would have, like, in good conscience, it just, because then if you ask that question while they're still playing, then we're losing focus, right?
Yeah.
And so I didn't even think he was going to come out of the locker room, because I heard there were understandably a lot of sad kids in the locker room. And then I get word that he's coming out and we're in commercial. And I'm just like standing out there, because, you know, one of the wonderful responsibilities we had sideline reporters have is like, we get to go get the losing coach. And you never know what you're going to get. I did let him know beforehand, like, hey, coach, I need to ask you about this. And he's like, I don't want to talk about it. I said, I understand. So, pardon me, guys. He kind of knew what was coming.
Yeah.
So I was a little caught off guard. And I tried to be as respectful as I could in terms of how I asked it. Because I think the way I positioned it was, after I asked a question about the game, I just said, what's your thought on the opening at Carolina or something
No, you did a great job.
So, I mean, and there was no bad blood. While I was a little taken aback, I was just like, okay, he walked into the press conference literally 2 minutes later and got bombarded with the same questions. And ultimately he did the job. And then when we saw each other the final year, it was just, we got a good laugh out of it. But it's just one of those things where I think it's probably hard for somebody sitting at home to be able to empathize with the challenging position we're in, because on one hand, I love basketball as much as anybody else. Yeah. And do I want to ask that question? Not really, but as a fan.
You had to do it. You had to do it. You know what? There was not one KU fan that was mad at you for asking that question, okay?
Oh, we all wanted to know. There were lots of fans who were mad at me for asking that question and telling me that I had no.
Fred's been waiting to ask that question for years.
No, seriously, let me tell you something. When Tim Collins, our assistant program director, said, hey, do you guys want to have Bonnie Bernstein on and talk about her show? I said, absolutely I do, because we're going to talk about her show, and then I am going to ask her.
I'm going to ask her about that Roy Williams.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember where I was at when I saw it. So,
Queen Carvania stood haloed by the morning sun. An army hung on her every word.
My champions, I have sold my chariot on Carvana. 'Twas a lovely SUV, an inexplicably queenly offer. They're even coming to the castle to collect it. Tonight, we feast!
An offer you can feast on. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Said, and I went to KU Journalism School, so my hat's off to you because I've, and we've talked about it on this show. Look, I'm old school in the sense I was a print newspaper reporter for a while as well, so there's something to be said for just asking good questions, and, you know, it's a dying art these days, so my hat's off to you, Ms. Bernstein, for doing the damn thing. The Champion's Edge with Bernie, with Bonnie Bernstein every Saturday, correct? And now, is it going to be kind of, depending upon what, do you have a particular time slot? I know it's going to be in the morning, but is it going to vary from region to region?
It does. We always say check your local listings, but it'll be on YouTube the following week. And we always say DVR it. Hopefully you've got, if you're around the house or you got, you're running your kids around, DVR it. And what we're also doing, we're fortunate enough to be able to sit down with each of our guests for probably about an hour, but it's a half hour show and we know how that works. You get like 10 minutes on the air. So we're actually repurposing all of the full interviews on our companion podcast called The Athlete Effect, and we are wherever you can get your podcasts, and we are part of the Odyssey Creator Lab. So anybody who's got the Odyssey app will be able to catch us every week on Tuesdays.
And what's it called? What's the podcast on Odyssey called?
The name of the podcast is called The Athlete Effect. Only will we have the interviews from each of our TV guests, we're also going to have standalone podcast guests. So we have We have WNBA Commissioner Kathy Engelbert. We have the CMOs of State Farm and Home Depot and the Kansas City Chiefs. Okay. We have this amazing woman. Her name's V Fly Girl Armor. That's her call name. She was the first Black female combat pilot in the history of the U.S. military.
Nice.
We have Dominique Dawes, the former Olympic gymnast, who's built a bunch of gyms and packaged them and sold them to private equity. So we hear about a completely different side of her than most people have never heard of. So it's a really cool, eclectic list of guests, some of whom you will know, lots whom you won't. But hopefully by the time you hear their stories, you're going to be like, oh, wow, that chick seems really cool.
Bonnie, you're the best. I'm so glad we did this. Like I said, you're a legend. You're an OG in the space. And this was certainly cool for me. And I hope everybody that listened is a little bit smarter after hearing you today. Great stuff from you, Ms. Bonnie Bernstein. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great evening.
Same to you. The one, the only, Miss Bonnie Bernstein, The Champion's Edge with Bonnie Bernstein. Check it out on ABC stations. It debuts this Saturday on May 9th. And, of course, you can catch it every Saturday. And as she said, you can check out The Athlete Effect right here on the Odyssey app, which we know a lot of you have. All right, when we come back, Derek Lively speaks. What's the latest and greatest with him? When will we see him on a basketball court? Lots more to get to. Don't go anywhere. This is The Fan After Dark.
All right.
The clip
from the 903. Old Fred has been fooling us. That was a damn good interview. That was a team effort. Shout out to Blake and I, and of course to our boy Tim Collins for setting that up as well. From the another 903. This is awesome. It would be great if she was a regular guest. Well, I mean, that's Bonnie Bernstein. So
I don't know if we got the budget for that.
I mean, she's a legend. She's a legend. She's the anti-Russini.
Correct. Trailblazer. And she's
she made it clear. When it's work time, I work.
Do you think she knows my mom? My mom seemed excited. I don't know if she knows.
Yeah, I think your mom was talking about a different Bonnie.
Okay.
The Los Angeles Lakers scout.
Okay. Well, we'll send Bonnie something. I'll say, do you know who it is? I'll just send a picture of my mom. Like a super zoomed in picture.
That's it. That's
do you
it.
Know well, this lady?
Do you know this woman? Now Odessa Jenkins, who we've got coming on at 9:20.
My mom.
Or excuse me, as I was. At 8:20, we'll know Kim.
Okay.
So she better.
She better. That's the first question. Kim. Watch her go, Kim, haven't heard of her.
No, we'll in the interview if that's the case. Do we have enough time? That interview's like that question's like a minute long from our boy Derek Lively?
Yeah, it's 52 seconds. So
we'll just wait.
We'll wait until 8 o'clock.
Hey.
Wait until 8 o'clock.
Big weekend, boys.
for
Mother's
Day.
Well, this is the see, he asked that question as somebody that constantly talks to his mother, and like in you and I
me and my mom.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, so you're alone, Trevor.
Me and my mom, I'll tell you what. And I think I shared it on, a show a few weeks, months ago, whatever it was. No, me and my mom had a come-to-Jesus conversation. And, in fact, I talked to my mom today on the way here. And, I'll just say this for anybody that's beefing with a parent. And, again, obviously, context is everything. But life's short. And in the case of my mother, she's 67 years old. And I'm 45, so it's one of those deals where it's like at some point you got to let bygones be bygones, and we hashed it out, and we're good. So
good. I'm actually really happy about that.
I'll tell you what, it's been transformational for me. I gotta admit, I said some things to my mother that I'd been sitting on for about 30 years, and needless to say, needed to get it off my chest. I did, and kudos to my mother. She actually listened and heard what I had to say, and we're good. We're good. So,
well, I'm excited for Mother's Day because me and Tangerine went to Home Good TJ Maxx yesterday and did all the shopping for it.
I mean, is there a more goated store than TJ Maxx Home Goods?
Yeah,
I mean, there's so many things.
If you don't know what to get your mom for Mother's Day, go there. I'm 1,000% sure you'll find something.
Napkin holders, wow!
It's a mom's glory.
Oh my goodness, I'm telling you right now. I mean, you
blinds
can't.
with little things that say kitten on it. Yeah. Oh man,
they love that stuff. So Tangerine made the baskets. I picked out. Yeah. Like, oh, my mom will like this. My mom will like this. Tangerine put the baskets together last night, so I'm geeked.
Yeah. No, obviously I'll be on the radio on Sunday for Mother's Day, but we'll shout out all the moms on Sunday. So, you know what? I've said this time and time again.
We got to do a top 10 moms list.
Top 10 moms of all time?
I'm sure you can redo it on Sunday, but I won't be there. So this will be the last time we can talk about moms.
Top 10 or top 5?
10.
I don't even know if 10 moms.
Or should we do Blake it or leave it style where I...
You want to do that instead of extra credit?
No, we can do both. Remember there was one segment you said to Phil. 9
well,
o'clock.
No. Well, we're doing Stars Bars. Because Jim Neal talked today.
What is there to talk about the Stars?
Well, Jim Neal actually had quite a few things to say about the Stars. I mean, they look, we don't want to get on the bad side of all the Stars fans that listen to Fan After Dark.
They gave us
a hard time.
They've been dead silent since they lost.
Well, and look, they not to mention, though, I mean, we stepped up our game. You know, we did. We heard you guys call us out. Oh, you guys don't talk enough Stars. That should be your job to watch them. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, where are you at now?
Where are they at now?
Crickets.
And this is me being a Stars enthusiast. I haven't heard a single peep from the Stars
people. There's not much to say. And we have brought them up quite a few times in the last week.
Someone said, is Blake dating a stripper named Tangerine? You are 100% correct. I am dating a stripper named Tangerine, unless her dad's listening. I'm not.
From the 817, Blake, I love you more than Fred. Okay, there you go.
Someone asked if I'm a lemon. What does that mean?
Well, because... She's Tangerine.
Citrus
fruit. No, I'm more of a mango kind of guy.
There you go. There you go. All right. Hour number one in the books, boys and girls. Derek Lively.
Are you a diesel? Is that a bullet train reference? Is that a bullet train reference? Are you a diesel? Yeah, I don't understand. Y'all didn't watch the movie.
I don't know.
Watch the movie with Brad Pitt.
What, Bullet Train? I watched like the first 10 minutes. It was what? It was not good. Okay, coming
up
next.
That's a bad take.
Coming up next.
No, we're holding this.
We'll get into it at 8 o'clock.
Fred.
We'll get into it because I saw enough to know I didn't want to watch any more of it.
You stay doing
when
that 10 minutes.
Hey, look, if you don't catch my attention, I'm out. Coming up next, let's hear what Derek Lively had to say. Speaks on the injury. Will he be ready for the 2026-2027 NBA campaign? Lots more to get to. Odessa Jenkins as well. Plus, we got some good news. Fair or foul. All the things right here on Fan After Dark.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.